line.
We're on best of
names. Okay. Thank you.
Right. You're back on.
Back on track. Where's so Bob?
So with that, we're missing Ted.
He took his sign and left.
Fill in for him. Good luck with that, John.
So, Mr. Chairman, Mark Gardner with Western Financial Group. I've been working with Bob and Ted and the rest of the crew on the potential Fintech acquisition. We have a brief report on the status of that, and then there'll be more details that we will go through and about the negotiations in the executive session. So we're talking about the due diligence status, the acquisition timeline, and the business and transition plan. So the due diligence is broken down into five major categories, and there are a bunch of subcategories beneath that. As I think you're aware, we asked that Fintech set up a data room for us, a virtual data room into which dozens, scores of documents have been placed, providing information in all these areas. And the team, various members of the ADA team have been going through those and doing the due diligence. So a big part of the due diligence is documentary, and then there's a part of it that's actually physical. So the legal and regulatory due diligence is largely completed, as is the financial due diligence. On valuation, we have a third-party valuation consultant that's working with us. That we are working on a draft of their report. What they're doing is looking at the market valuation of companies that are comparable to Fintechs to provide us some ratios to look at of enterprise value or price to book value and enterprise value price or price to income. And we'll talk about some of that in detail in the executive session. But that report will be ready before we do the financial plan. And then on technical and environmental due diligence, the documentary part of that is again largely done, although there are some documents that are just too cumbersome to put into the data room. Those will be examined in by humans looking at paper in Fairbanks next week. The team did a site visit. This part of the due diligence is led by Kirk Warren. So Kirk and his team did a site visit at the Point McKenzie plant yesterday or the day before. And then they're up in Fairbanks next week doing the site visits at the Fairbanks facilities and again looking at those documents there.
Mark, would it be at some point, I guess I'll direct this question at both John and Ted, for at some point that the board and pay the board members take a look at both the assets of the Fintechs prior to any decision making. Obviously, if it gets close to the finish line, then at some point, put it in your back pocket about how we can offer board members an opportunity to take a tour.
I think we're getting to that point with the weather helping us out here. The snow is pretty much removed from the area and the plant so that the board could take a good look at the plant facility and then also the facilities in Fairbanks, probably in April. I guess I could ask Gary, is the snow?
What snow?
So the last item there on the technical environmental, we actually have been working with FNG, Pentex, and Hillcorp, because as you know, there is a set of agreements for Hillcorp through Harvest to acquire the Titan and AET assets of Pentex. They conducted their own environmental due diligence, and we just yesterday got a 400 megabyte set of files from Hillcorp, thanks to Kirk Gibson there, which included a phase one environmental site assessment done at the end of last year of the plant. So that's not an expense we're going to have to incur because it's already been done. So our team will be looking at what else do we need to do to make sure that we've got our environmental due diligence done before we come to you with a first before we come to you with a plan for purchase, and second before we close. So that's all going well. Coming out of all the due diligence and out of the negotiations with Pentex, then we do have a list of and other things going on in the world. We have a risk analysis that we're preparing, as we always do when we're bringing forward a project financing to you. And we'll talk about some of what we discovered there in the executive session as well. So moving on to the timeline, as you know, Ada and Pentex entered into an LOI in late January. Jerry Jude, our attorney from the Department of Law, drafted the first draft of the agreement between Ada and Pentex, which gave us a very good foundation for a set of discussions. We are close to completing the negotiations on that. Some of the things we want to talk about in the executive session relate to that before we finalize that. Assuming we get through that and actually do reach agreement with a structure that the board has reviewed, then we would go into the process, the ordinary process we do of drafting a financing plan, which is a statutorily defined term, and the related documents that would come to the board for review and approval either at your April or your May meetings. And then, again, assuming that all goes forward, the target for closing is in the third quarter. A part of the planning is the transition of the utility. This is proposed to be a development project financed under the 4488-172, in which we will acquire all of the LLC memberships of Pentex Alaska Natural Gas LLC. As is required under 4488-172, we work with the community to make sure that there is local community support. And in this case, it involves more specifically working with the community to determine, at least on the outline level, how that will enable the consolidation of the natural gas distribution system in the borough, and then a plan for a transition over, we're saying, 18 to 24 months to local entity control. In whatever form. That might not include transfer of ownership, by the way. It could end up being a lease or some other form of operation. But our target, so you'll know what you'll see coming back in the financial plan, is that it would be based on Ada's rules for returns for this kind of a project, which today would be about 5.3%, consistent with the nature of the project and the business. So again, that's the brief update on the status of the process, and we have some things that we need to discuss in executive session.
Thank you, Mark. Any questions for Warren at this point? Gary?
Mark, on slide 3, in regard to environmental, just top of your head, any showstoppers so far in environmental issues?
No, sir.
Thank you.
Chair, could I just mention one thing? We're at the point right now where we do need to get direction from the board on certain items that are confidential, but as we go through this process through April and May, we will have the transparency with the community and showing them cost and how the rationalization of the system, if Ada participates, would lower total costs. And of course, that's part of the finance plan for the board, is to ensure that our investment is providing that economic impact for the community, for the economy of the state. And as Mark has said, where we're right now is gathering all the documentation, all the items, so we can take that next step. And we're moving rapidly towards that next step now that we've had the ability to get in with the assistance of F&G and providing us all the documents to go to that next step.
Okay.
Eric? Ted, so give me an example of transition over 24 months to local entity control. What would be an example? Would that be FMG? Would that be anybody that steps up?
I think
would that be in 2 years?
In two years, it could be a combination utility that would be a public entity, or it could be where the community comes together through a co-op, for example. You have an electric co-op there. You could have a gas co-op or a combination co-op. It could be in conjunction with a private entity that once there's a joint system that they would want to come in like an Instar and operate the system for communities. So there's various different models that could be used. But again, what we're trying to ensure is that there is a rationalized system that someone would be interested in taking over that would benefit the whole community. As was in when the North Shore Borough was looking at how to provide gas to most customers at the least cost.
Okay. So short answer is that there is no real, there is no favorite path. It's just that there's a lot of options out there, and at some point in time, I guess I'll be blunt, but I'll get in the room and we'll see what comes out.
Right.
Well, you know, as far as
that, it's on my task list to bring the board three top opportunities of doing that with pros and cons and levels of community buy-in.
And that's the key with the community buy-in of the parties. You have the city of Fairbanks, North Pole, you have the borough,
and Golden Valley.
And Golden Valley.
Yeah. And we're working with Bob to create a term sheet from Ada's side of that for how that would look for the transition to the local entity.
So day before yesterday, I drove out to North Pole or something and looked over at 8 Mile, and there's a field plowed out, snow pushed up, and there's half a dozen or more trailers sitting there, all with black pipe with yellow stripes down the side. So it's real. And they're sitting there waiting to go.
And also FNG is still in their planning for doing another
30 miles
of pipe this summer too. So, you know, one of the things that when certain people are saying there's only 1,100 structures for city of Fairbanks, they're not taking account again, and we have the tables that Bob's working on. There's another additional 1,300 structures we're going past currently. And then by the end of this year, we're going to be about 4,000.
Yeah, there's a total of 12,700 structures that the piping will reach on full build out, and we'll be in front of half of them by the end of this year.
Really? Mostly residential?
Mostly, yes. 90% residential. Right now, the customer split is 50-50 commercial and residential, and so most of the customer pickup will be residential.
Mr. Chairman, could you briefly describe the conversion aspect of that? This isn't relevant to due diligence. This is relevant to the IEP project. But the mechanisms for achieving that to be done on a voluntary basis or with an improvement district, or how do we... It's been crazy to be running pipe by places that don't hook up.
It's a voluntary basis, and there's two mechanisms that will affect that. One is the price of the gas, and the other is the cost of conversion. And we've done both polling and focus groups, and we've got about a 50-50 split of the responses saying, if gas was in front of my house at low cost, I'd hook up and I'd pay to do the conversion myself. The other half say, I probably would do it, but I don't know if I can afford an $8,000 to $10,000 bill. And so on the residential side, what's being looked at is partnering with the local banks to provide on-bill pay programs so that someone could finance their conversion. It would be part of their bill, and so you would not achieve the full savings between the cost of oil and the cost of gas until your fuel had been paid for. The structure we're looking at is to get the borough to provide a financing backstop for default for the first 2.5 or 4%, depending on where we end up bargaining with the banks. And to that, at that level, they would look at 10-year and 3% money as the range we're looking at for financing. That's it's better you can get it anywhere else. It's easier because you pay it on your bill, and it leverages the private money that's in the banks that they can't place right now, and that they, you know, they're willing to place at little risk, not no risk, but little risk.
Mr. Chairman, part of this is I'm just trying to understand Fairfax land, but how can it be left as voluntary when it's a public health crisis?
That's a whole different
panel. That's a serious
question. It's a serious question, and there's legitimate pushes for alternate fuels, and the question of, it's not just gas, is somebody who has oil in their home and wood in their home, is there a requirement that you not burn wood in the event of air quality issues? And to date, neither the state nor the borough have been willing to
muscle up to that question.
Yeah, and so that gas is no different than any other alternate fuel in that it's is there a legitimate basis and mechanism to ban burning of wood in an Arctic environment when it's an economic choice.
That's almost un-American, so
from a valuation standpoint, is on the conversion issue, from a valuation of the asset, the home, is it anticipated that once the conversion is done, that the valuation of the home would be different, higher hopefully, than the one next door that wasn't hooked up to gas?
We are going to push hard on the local, both the assessors and appraisers, that be the case. The way that property tax assessments work relative to gas is your home is valued based on your access to the utilities. There isn't a current mechanism to say one house is worth more than the other on a taxation standpoint because you have gas, and that would go counter to wanting to do conversions anyway. But as we've talked to the banks, and we looked at, well, would you want to put a second or last position lien when you put it on a home when you finance the furnace? There is a question of homeowners would be willing to do that if their home was considered more valuable and they saw that in the value of their home when they sold it. And right now it's a small enough portion that it's not considered substantially, because the price isn't that much different either. If we end up with half the homes one way and half the other, I expect you'll see a preference toward lower cost fuel in the marketplace.
What about the option of the tax credit? We talked about credits on folks that convert as an incentive. It may be small, but to encourage. For a short term credit.
We have two assembly members participating on our conversion program, and they're interested and involved. It hasn't. Gene's a member of that committee, and not me. I haven't heard it discussed, but that doesn't mean it couldn't be. The borough is looking for ways to incent, and that's why I expect the willingness to put up the financial backstop on the conversion program. Plus, it's in the financial range that they can afford.
That's a way for the borough to participate.
Now you get into my knowledge of Title 29 that's 5 years stale, and you need specific authority under state law to do property tax changes and partial exemptions, and it's a good question. I don't know the answer to it. Is the short.
Any further questions for Bob and his team? Thank you, Bob. I also say again, thank you for your efforts in this, Bob. I know it's a challenge. Dad, Mark, and we appreciate your efforts.
Hey, I got a great team and support everywhere I look. So thank you.
All right, with that, I will close out the discussion and update and move to item E. I'll entertain a motion for an executive session.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I move that the board enter an executive session to discuss confidential information related to the Interior Energy Project and confidential financial information related to a potential development finance project.
One second.
Any opposed? All right, we'll grab a...